Welcome. Welcome, ladies, gentlemen, fellow slaves of the global plantation. The Vinnie Eastwood Show is bad news. It's like the news, but worse. It's the lighter side of genocide. Just because we're being exterminated doesn't mean we can't enjoy it. Otherwise, what's the point of being killed? The Vinnie Eastwood Show, where the only thing worse than living in a high-tech global police state run by child-trafficking Satanists is Vinnie's jokes. And my very special guest joining me today is Nathan Crabtree. Nathan, are you with us? Nathan, can you hear me? I can see you, but I can't hear you. He seems to be off his headphones at the moment here. Yo.
Yeah, something's going on with my sound. I don't hear you guys. I sent it in the chat.
Okay. Some kind of issue with his sound there. He can't actually hear us. Yes, we can hear you. But yeah, you can't hear us. So if we could reconnect Nathan, that would be lovely, please. And we'll come back to him in a moment. And in the meantime, ladies and gentlemen, I would like to remind you that the Vinnie Eastwood Show is a listener-supported show. So if you haven't already, please go to vinnieeastwood.com and check out the Kiwi Bank and Guerrilla Media over there so that you can support the broadcast as it has been going for, what, since 2010 we've been on radio, and 2008 we started on YouTube. So been around here for a long time, plan to be around for a lot longer, so please help us go from strength to strength and help us with new equipment and promotions and things of that nature. Please just donate at vinnieeastwood.com. So we're still having trouble with Nathan there on his audio. So RBN, can you hear us? Please, if you can.
I hear you. I could try and add him to another call here. That's what I'm going to try and do here.
Okay. We're trying to add him to another call, so we'll be right with him in just a moment here, folks, and we'll see if that works. Also, please support my band, Vinny and the Vendettas. We're in the studio now recording. So we've got a number of great songs. I think we had... the producer told me to send him like 700 tracks. You know, that's it. He says, send me all you got. And I was like, I've got like 700 tracks, bro. And he's like, oh, yep, send them all. And he was listening through them. And we've got so many songs over so many years that we haven't really gone into the studio to record, kind of thing. He's gone through about 400 of them. And he says that there's 80 of them that are really good. And that means we've got enough for, he reckons on estimate, we might have enough for about 10 albums with the body of work we've got here. So that's studio time, ladies and gentlemen. So please check out the Vinnie and the Vendettas page on vinnieeastwood.com and check out some of her songs if they mean a lot to you and think they're awesome, then please go ahead and try and donate through the Patreon up here. So yeah, it's very, very important there. Now our sponsors, holdenhealthcare.com, emphasis on the care. David Holden's been helping me as well. I used to have like really bad liver issues, and there's sort of on the mend now, and that's all thanks to David Holden's great care and his exorbitant knowledge. He's been in the industry for well over 30 years and has a great team behind him with collectively over 100 years of experience. So when it comes to helping the body to realign and heal itself, Holden Healthcare, emphasis on the care. There's a medical disclaimer on the website. He's an expert in hard to treat cases as a naturopathic oncologist, so if you've got that cancer and it ain't going away, see if you can get yourself squeezed in there to his busy schedule. And indeed, we also have another sponsor, reopen.nz, a directory of anti-mandate pro-choice all-inclusive businesses in New Zealand. And if you want to basically join the long, long list of brave, diverse businesses around New Zealand that have signed up to this website, please go to reopen.nz today and find out who your peers are around the country when it comes to doing business the right way, the moral way. And of course, the t-shirt I'm wearing right now is a River of Lies, the New Zealand Scamdemic, an investigative documentary t-shirt. And the truth is coming. So Billy TK is working away real hard with his editor, trying to crack this puppy together. And they do need donations and sponsors for that as well. So if you have a business and you are willing to sponsor the production of this documentary that is very international in scope, please go to riveroflies.co.nz and get yourself sorted in there. Now, so RBN, do we have our guest available yet?
Hey guys, what's up?
Hey, oh, there we doing? Go. We've got
you. Sorry about that. I think my system just switched the audio output device randomly there. So
it matters not when we're in live radio. It either works or it doesn't. We were talking with Justin. He's the guy who does Counterspin Media. They've recently featured on the Alex Jones Show. And he told me that if there's no audio, there's no show. And nobody knows right. that better than a talk radio show host like me. All right. So, Nathan, thank goodness you've come back right on cue. So, without further ado, would you be able to tell us a little bit about who you are and what it is you do?
So, I got started on the great work, as Mark Passio describes it, about 6 years ago or so. I started listening to Mark when I was about 25, 26. I'm 36 now. So I've had a lot of time to assimilate data, knowledge, and really get into the actual internet content creation and truth distribution. You know, you could call it like anarchist propaganda work, you could even call it. You know, so I've put out at least 250 podcasts. I do guitar work. I'm also into plant medicine, shamanism and stuff. I'm a member of a plant medicine church here in Missouri. And really, I'm just all about implementing solutions, rebuilding society, organizing people into tribal networks, both online and in person, so that we can maybe pool resources, really secure on-the-ground infrastructure, build up businesses again, and you could call them businesses, but just industry, because we're in a survival situation here, and I think we really need to be active on all fronts, you know, the internet as well. So I try to stay active, content creating and uploading to different platforms and stuff, trying to get as involved as I can. So it's really great being on your show, Vincent, because I know you've got a somewhat large audience probably compared to me. I've only got 90 listeners right now.
that's kind of like a bit more than I got at times, though. I've got to tell you, you know, shadow banning in New Zealand ain't no joke, son.
Right. Now, Facebook and Instagram are really bad about shadow banning. I've been shadow banned pretty sure for at least 4 years. So there's no way I'm ever going to be popular on those platforms. I'm not even allowed to speak on, you know, YouTube and stuff. They'll kick me off if they figure out I'm back on there. So
this reminds me of something that I was thinking about this morning. You know how you're supposed to be able to have freedom of speech and freedom of the press and protesting and other methods of having your voice heard, of restraining those in power from doing various scumbaggery acts. And now those things are illegal, right? And I was thinking, okay, so you can't speak against them and be heard. You can't protest against them and be heard. What options are left? And immediately everybody thinks about, you know, of course, violent revolution and so on and so forth, a la the founding fathers. But then I was kind of like contemplating it this morning. I was like, what about non-violent non-compliance? We haven't actually really tried mass non-violent non-compliance yet, but anyway, just a thought I had this morning. I needed to get it out on air because it's kind of important. We haven't really organized whole bunches of people to just stop things from happening.
I think it's really just a consciousness shift that's required. Like, more and more average people need to become more and more aware of what's really happening, where the dark direction that these ruling elites want to take society. People just need to be more aware. Exposing them to information like we're doing is a great way to help. If you can get people to the point where they're willing to actually take action, they're willing to try things, they're willing to use their own voice, like you're describing, just noncompliance be an excellent place to start. I would say if you combine that with self-defense and group self-defense and at the right times where, you know, practically it makes sense. If you can get people working together better, I've noticed a lot of people have personality conflicts and they get into like group infighting. Sometimes they can be kind of mean to each other, almost like they have trauma from living in the Matrix their whole life, and now they start treating each other disrespectfully and stuff. There's a lot of healing really on the individual level that needs to also happen, just to get people working, you know, together again, more independent. It really is a great work, as Mark Passio describes. This is not, you know, something that's light. It's not something that only a few people working in isolation, like me, you, and Mark, and the other people. We're only a handful of people. I mean, this is a huge job. Really changing the world when it's made out of billions of people. So more hands need to be involved. There is one other path that I'm looking at as a possibility to get away from government codes, rules, and regulations. This is, I would say, worth looking into. It probably, there's something similar going on in most countries, I would say. So you could look into this and see if it's even available in your country. But what you can do is escape public jurisdiction, which is government jurisdiction. You have to quit your corporate job. You can't have a corporate job. And you have to be a legal expert and be able to write your own trust documents and be able to assemble a group of people into a private business trust is what it's called. And create your indenture agreement, which is the upfront agreement that the people involved in the trust make. You can do status correction paperwork, tell the government that you're not their slave, stop using your Social Security, stop receiving any benefits from the federal government, don't be dependent on their systems anymore. Get people into a tribe and organized a little bit so they can take care of basic needs. And then you can also do commerce using the private business trust commerce token, like on the Monopoly board. And then you'll be outside of their jurisdiction if you set it up all correctly. These codes, rules, and regulations, I don't think they will apply to you. It's not really a solution that really should be forced on everyone. It's kind of an unnecessary burden, but it's another possibility of something I'm looking at. Just in the short term, you know, for on-the-ground resources, and like if they're going to make speech illegal, for example, if you're outside of their jurisdiction in this private world, they might not be able to come after you for that. And, you know, you wouldn't have to pay taxes this way. I'm not really saying, though, that this is what's necessary for humanity to, overcome this evil. Because it's going to take a lot more than that. And average people need to take it more seriously is something I have observed. Is a lot of average people aren't really paying attention, and they're certainly not doing anything. And this is kind of why they're so easily controlled this way. God damn it, dude. I think I lost my sound again. Let me look on my settings here, see if it switched. No, see my.
That was actually that was actually my bad. Okay. So they also don't have Mark Passio yelling at them. You know that right. Kind of thing. I mean, let's face facts here. Sometimes you do need to get yelled at. You do need to be called out on your BS. You know, that kind of thing. You do need to be called out on who you really are and what you're really doing if you want to change that. And that's the thing about doing any kind of great work is that you can either do that to yourself and be hard on yourself and make yourself come to the truth and not beat around the bush, or in some cases you do actually kind of need a good stern talking to.
I found Mark Passio's rants and his harshness to be extremely helpful, at least for me. It might not be for everyone, which is, again, and Mark repeats this over and over again. Why we need tons of people chipping in is because some people's personality types, they just don't resonate as well with being yelled at, I guess. I do. I love it. I think it's really helpful. I think it's very inspiring. It's a good example.
Listen up, ladies.
Of how to teach certain people. Certain people, it helps a lot. I was one of them. He's really good at kicking your ass into gear, you know, lighting the fire under you, telling you how people around you have failed, you know. Maybe that's not for everyone. So if you're listening and you think you can help some people who, because I've met people who don't want to hear it from Mark. They just don't like him. And it's probably because part of it is maybe they don't want to hear the truth, you know, and he's really, really truthful and blunt. Another part of it could be the delivery method, right? So I can be very blunt like that and harsh on people in my podcast. And it's not only can be helpful for the listener, but as the person who's speaking the truth, who has to live in this reality and observe all these things, it kind of helps bring a burden off of my heart. You know, if I'm feeling like people are slacking and people are failing, to just come out and tell them that you're slacking, you're failing, everyone around you's failed, your parents have failed you, the schools have failed you. I mean, the government didn't fail because they were trying to basically kill you the whole time. So they're doing a good job, but everyone who was supposed to be on your side has failed. Just me being able to express it bluntly like that kind of helps lift my spirit in a way. And I think it empowers some people because we're trained to never be truthful and blunt about things. And when you finally maybe tune in on the internet and hear someone like George Carlin, for example, was very good at this, just tell you how it is and not sugarcoat it and not try to placate your feelings and wash it down and dumb it down just to be politically correct or something. I think a big part of this political correction and stuff and tiptoeing around people's delicate feelings, I think a big part of it is that you're just afraid to tell the actual truth here. The actual truth can be really horrific. And sometimes I wonder, is like, you know, you can sound like I'm angry when I'm saying these things, but I'm not actually angry is the weird thing. I can talk about these really crazy things, you know, about the government trafficking children and stuff, and it'll sound like I'm angry as I'm saying it, but I'm just actually not angry. I just don't. It seems like the appropriate tone of voice when you're talking about child trafficking or Satanism or, you know, crazy COVID mind control. It sometimes you just sound angry, but it doesn't necessarily mean internally that I am angry. So there's many reasons why an angry voice is appropriate for this type of work. Occasionally, maybe not all the time. There's many reasons, though, why it can help.
Yeah, different strokes for different folks, ladies and gentlemen. There's no one way to deliver the truth that will work. Deliver it your way all the time. That's the way. Thank you very much. We'll be right back after these messages in just a few moments, ladies and gentlemen. Support the court case at VinnieEastwood.com.
Guilty. Guilty. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. It's part of the plan. I'm guilty. 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 Capital crime. I'm guilty. 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 I'm doing the time. I'm guilty. Guilty. Guilty.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's so fast that you can listen to it in less than 60 minutes. It's the Vinny Eastwood Show. And my very special guest is Nathan Crabtree from the Natural Law Podcast. So, again, what actually got you into this all, Nathan?
So, I would say the first thing that started to wake me up is I started using cannabis after high school, smoking a little bit of weed here and there, and in college and stuff. And all of a sudden, I was a big public enemy, and I could be terrorized, attacked by brutal gang member thugs who would take you to court and then throw you in a cage and rob you a bunch, make you do community service and all kinds of nonsense just for using a healing medicine. That was my first tip off that there was something wrong in the world. Somehow I missed it all through high school and middle school and stuff. But when I got into college, started smoking, maybe the cannabis made me more sensitive to the energies in reality. It can open up the feminine side of things, which can be very sensitive and vulnerable. And it can make you more aware of subtle energies in the environment. So that could have been part of my spur to awakening and my spiritual awakening. After that, though, when I got into grad school, I started to just ask what is going on with everyone being totally enslaved to their job and everyone seeming to hate their job. What I noticed, so many miserable people all around doing these jobs that they don't like. And I just was trying to feel like, what is even going on here with this? Why are these people so disempowered? And is there some evil, conspiracy? Is there some evil group of people or system trying to enslave them and make them feel terrible about life and just sucking their energy dry on purpose? And some harsh, uncaring, alien, technocratic dictatorship just sucking all the energy out of them and getting them just endlessly going to these jobs. So I went and looked it up. I found out about the Federal Reserve system, the fake money, all that kind of slavery. And it was very quick after that. On the first video I found on YouTube about the Fed, somebody had commented to go check out Mark Passio's work. And so I went right over there and I listened to all of his podcasts. And he just kind of filled me in on exactly what is actually happening. And it all of my suspicions were correct. And more so, I didn't even realize it was that bad, honestly. I didn't realize how bad the global situation was until I really listened to all of Mark Passio's work. And, I had a hunch. I kind of knew something wasn't right here with the money system and the slavery and stuff. But I didn't realize how bad the situation truly was. So Mark Passio's work, I have to commend him, is extremely eye-opening on its own. Very good at motivating you to get involved, too. It's more than just cold information that he's providing. He's also providing you a stern kick in the ass and almost like a fatherly figure that says, hey, maybe you should do something, for your own safety and your family, because there's a lot of dangerous things happening. And if you don't do something about it, who do you think's going to save you? Who do you think's going to – you think Vinny Eastwood has got all of Australia and he's just going to save everyone over there and no one else has to do anything? We all need to be involved is basically the truth here.
It's a shoulder – well, it's a burden no man can shoulder alone, And that's the problematic difficulty about telling the truth in a time of universal deceit and committing those revolutionary acts, is that a lot of people don't like it because it forces them to take a look at themselves. A lot of people don't understand it, so they start ridiculing you and completely misinterpreting what you're saying and getting all uppity. And that's the point where a lot of people just give up. They're like, oh, this is too hard. People aren't receptive, and so on and so forth. You don't go out trying to communicate to people who ain't listening. How many times have you had the same conversation with your family members and they ain't listening? Shh, don't bother, okay? Just live your life, tell your truth, and live your truth, and eventually they'll see it.
I would say that it takes a tremendous amount of spiritual growth, development, courage, and willpower, and consistency to really, truly be effective at doing, you know, our specific job and what you and me and Mark Passio attempt to do. It is something that you have to be okay with standing out and not being an average, you know, sheeple zombie person. Because sure, exactly like you're describing, a lot of people, what I found, they want nothing to do with this type of work. Some of them really, they appear to just hate the truth, some of them. And they react aggressively. And these could be family members. It could be people you've grown up with who have never really opened their eyes. You start getting on different brainwave pattern almost. And you start behaving, you know, spiritually, subjectively different. Or not subjectively, but objectively, you're becoming more of a responsible, spiritually enlightened teacher, one great worker, builder, more compassionate, you know, wants to see the world get better. A lot of people just aren't there. And some of them, unfortunately, appear to be pretty far away from being there. And sometimes for that reason, I like to almost classify people into different groups and just look at the global population that way and then resonate myself with the more responsible, more enlightened, more active, safer crowd and only network with those people, you know, try to do podcasting work and help when I can with some of the more average people. You know, I'll try to help them a little bit here and there, but just I don't – it just seems like the stark difference in where they need to be versus where they're at. I just don't. Sometimes I wonder how many of them are really actually going to be killed by the vaccine agenda and all these other agendas that these globalists have. I feel like they're going to. A lot of people are behind on their shadow work. They're behind on their on the ground work. Their intelligence level has been negatively affected. You know, they're slow at thinking. They haven't been eating healthy. They haven't been using, you know, certain herbs and different things that can make you smarter and more motivated. They are lacking basic spiritual understandings of, like, sexual energy, for example. A lot of them have internet porn addictions. They might be getting into relationships, you know, to try to satisfy carnal instincts and desires, and that's maybe not the right thing for them to do. It can
and
be very distracting.
We will be talking about all the carnal desires on your instincts, ladies and gentlemen, after the break. We don't go.
Visit our website by going to Republic.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the show that satisfies all your carnal desires. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show on Republic Broadcasting Network, republicbroadcasting.org, and my very special guest is Nathan Crabtree. Nathan, welcome back.
Thanks a lot, Vinnie. I have to say you're doing an awesome job with your show. I just wanted to tell you.
I know, I get that a lot. Now, we're talking about how to sort of like look accurately at how people are acting and without kind of distorting the image or giving them any excuses and stuff like that. You actually look at the stuff that is bad in society that people are partaking in that makes them bad people.
Well, alcoholism, for example, I mean, for centuries, probably thousands of years, people have partook in intoxicating levels of alcohol, which, in my opinion, is going to poison your entire life. You know, it's gonna have a probably, in my opinion, even a small amount of alcohol is gonna negatively affect pretty much everything that you're trying to do in life. There might be exceptions to that rule, but what else are they not doing? It's more about just like what are they not doing sometimes. You know, they've been trained to sit on the couch, eat potato chips, watch the game, let the politicians handle everything. And that mindset is so deeply instilled and rooted in some people that it seems like some of them are incapable of snapping out of it in any reasonable amount of time. And we can focus on the more active, positive, anarchist crowd. Might be a healthy thing to do, but if we're going to just point out, you know, what's wrong with people, it's a lot. They're on drugs, a lot of them. And the drugs, I don't know what these pharmaceuticals are doing to people, the psychotropic drugs. It's got to be turning their brain into cheese on some level.
You have to watch your words around people like us, you know. It's just like for somebody who would be in dismay. What's wrong with people? Like, how long you got? You know? You got a few years, you know? You're not busy for about a month. Let's let you know.
Right, yeah, you could go on endlessly. I like to do it, too. Sometimes it can, again, just bring a burden off your chest to just get on the internet and tell people how it actually is. And I find it empowering on some level. Like, Mark used to do this. He would always make me laugh and feel better talking about how dumb everyone is. I don't want to be too mean about it, but, God, it's funny sometimes. It can be funny if it, you know, but it's also extremely dangerous and should be taken very seriously. Something should be done to try to wake them up. Some of them will wake up, too, is the thing. It's not like they're hopeless. Some of them will actually listen, and we're trying to save those people.
Yeah,
maybe not all of them are capable of waking up, but some of them will.
Yeah, I mean, so. I used to vote for the Green Party. If I can change, you can change.
I used to be pretty indoctrinated when in high school. I believed in the 9/11 story. I thought the police were, you know, kind of trying to help. Thought the police were there to keep you safe or something. So,
yeah, well, getting busted for weed will fix that up in a hurry, as I know. And that's kind of how I got into this whole thing is cannabis activism. You know, you figured if you could get it legal in this country, it might be able to help a lot of people with their glaucoma or with their seizures or with their cancer or with their frickin' anything, you know.
Did they ever make it legal in your country, in Australia? Is it legal there yet?
It's not Australia, it's New Zealand. But no, they have not made it properly legal yet. I mean, you can get it prescribed. It's just prohibitively expensive, almost like prohibition.
Hey, I had a personal question for you. You don't have to answer if you don't want to share details, but, you know, I saw that controversy, you know, about you speaking your mind on the radio, and I guess it was the Australian government that didn't like, or a New Zealand government that didn't like it or something. Did that all blow over, or are you in, like, big trouble about, I was wondering if you were going to get prison time just for having a radio show.
Well, you know, the night is young, as they say, but in terms of what happened to the New Zealand government to me, you might have been talking about what the worst people are going through that right now is counterspinmedia.com. And they're facing, what was it, 10 years in jail for sharing a link to a trailer of a documentary that somebody else made about the Christchurch mosque massacre. They're facing like 10, 20 years in jail kind of thing for doing that. And at the time that they shared it, it was legal to share it. And then they changed the law and then didn't warn them about it and just kept it in there for it. So that's real terrible. That's New Zealand for you. They've just been voted the most effective alternative media in New Zealand, which is, you know, it's easy to see. They've got a great team. And me, on the other hand, I mean, we were, I guess, banned from using the internet for 6 weeks for bail conditions while we went in and out of court four times at the cost of like $16,000 in legal bills, just so that we could access the internet to order groceries kind of thing, you know, even something as innocuous as that, they wouldn't let me do. And as far as deplatforming goes, you know, I had 65,000 subscribers across three channels and 6,000 videos interviewing nearly 2,500 people about hundreds and hundreds of different subjects. And so because of my coverage of the Christchurch mosque massacre and how I called it a false flag, they demonetized me. That was $3,000 less a month that I had to live off then on. And because I didn't shut up about COVID, They took all my channels, and they took my Patreon as well, which is another $1,500 a month, and my life's work just gone. And now I've got a Facebook page with 11,000 followers, and if I post something, I'll get maybe 2 reactions.
Oh, yeah, that's how Facebook works. See, this is like an uphill battle for people like us who want to see things change and want to educate people. The dark occultists and the forces, the powers, you know, that run the world, that own, quote-unquote, own everything, they're not going to make it easy. Like, this is why we need a larger group of people putting energy into this, because it's too much work for an individual, especially when they've got so much power and advantage, and they've got so much control of things. It's like, you know, they shadow ban you. Like any Facebook post I make only gets 2 likes. So I only have 90 followers on BitChute right now. I'm trying to upload to more platforms again, but that's just not going to do it anytime soon. You know, when this is a global problem and people's lives are on the line, they need to work together and just have each other's back in big ways. Not just your family, not just a couple friends. Like this media company in New Zealand being terrorized and imprisoned, apparently, by the government there. Like, imagine if thousands and thousands of people rose up and physically guarded them so that they couldn't be taken into court. And, you know, people aren't even thinking this way, much less having each other's back. So it's a very dangerous situation. More people need to be very focused on this and take it seriously, you know? Like what I'm trying to do, just as a practical, maybe save your skin approach, is like try to get into the private, out of public jurisdiction with the business trust, stop using the social security number, learn their laws in a really expert way to maybe be able to protect myself in the meantime. But really, much better protection is going to come from working with thousands of high-quality people. And the dark occultists do this all the time. They're always working with thousands and thousands of people around the world. There's no reason the light side, the good side, shouldn't be able to do that too. We should be able to attract thousands of people and have everyone contributing in whatever way makes them happy. Doesn't have to be coercion and control and top-down authoritative corporate mindset. We need to let go of that idea that one guy has to be in charge of everything. And some corporate, you know, bureaucracy needs to be telling you what to do every day as a part of your job. You should be able to just show up and contribute in some way and be happy with your contribution and not have it stress you out. You know what I mean?
Speaking of being happy with your contribution, something Mark said the other day is that there's a lot of people who can't contribute to the truth movement. They don't have the voice. They don't have the brain. They don't have the get up and go and so on and so forth. But they still want to contribute and they still care about the truth enough to do that. And you know, you're talking about like people coming out en masse and supporting them and stuff like that. When Billy TK and myself got arrested, there was no New Zealand alternative media that contacted us apart from one guy who streams online on DLive at the time, DK, who's in the chat and is one of my mods. That was the only person from the perceived New Zealand truth movement that called us up around the time of our arrest to try and help us in any way.
I bet you that didn't make you feel very good. I mean, how is that supposed to make you feel when you're trying to do the right thing and you're the only one who cares? And everyone else will either throw you under the bus or just never support you. And if you get in trouble, they're just like, oh, fuck it. Fuck him. He fell off. I forget. I'm just moving on with my life. Screw that whole truth movement. It's dangerous.
It actually made me feel okay, because you know who did show up? My listeners, my supporters, and my from overseas, all right, because I'm the only New Zealander that had an international following at that point, and pretty much still the same thing. And they showed up massively. Like, I'd never received donations like this before, and I'd been helped in immense ways by the International Truth Movement. So that was what was encouraging to me, is that even if my own countrymen will leave me out in the cold, I have international allies that don't.
Yeah, that's certainly a lot better than nothing. I think it would be awesome if these international network, because I'm starting to build a network too, finally, online. It would be really helpful if that network could grow and grow over time, and then we could start to set up on the ground areas even where people can be meeting in person, you know, and maybe eventually the anarchist world is going to have their own like air travel, their own cars, all these things that the Matrix is providing that are designed to control people and corral them into slaughterhouses. The anarchist world is going to have to find solutions to rebuild these things. And, like, you know, having an anarchist Uber, for example, that's not controlled by Uber Corporation, who's regulated by the government, people are going to have to start thinking this way. It's like there needs to be anarchist solutions, because having us all isolated online is just not ideal. It's better than nothing. It definitely psychologically helps to know that I can meet new people online, make friends and contacts, and on some level we'll have each other's back to a certain degree.
It's just that question, how do you find out who all the conspiracy theorists on your street are? You know?
I would say you just go outside and start talking about conspiracy theories and see which one of them head for the hills and want nothing to do with you, and which ones are kind of like, hey, that's kind of cool, tell me more.
Yeah, we kind of have to go door-to-door on this one, eh? Just, like, convert your street into a group of known people. Like, I know that this guy's a conspiracy theorist. I know that guy is. And then you all start having your own little community, and you leave the rest of the community of normies to themselves until they realize what you're doing for the community.
Well, so one thing I'm doing is I have a group chat on Telegram for more local people that I meet in person that are known anarchists that don't have their heads in the sand, that people that I get along with, that I can work together with. I have a group for just internet people, you know, the One Great Work Network. I've got a group chat of people who get along with me just on the internet. I could add you to that chat. But then I've got a Telegram chat for locals, you know, that I actually do see in person here and there. And, you know, those two groups could merge a little bit. But I feel like you having all your eggs in the internet basket might be unwise. But also doing nothing on the internet is also unwise. Similarly, you know, you'd want to do things in person too, like build farms, network with locals who are open to hearing about it. They're hard to find. It can be difficult to find. I try my best. Sometimes I'll go out to the grocery store and just project my voice really loud and start talking about the police being the most dangerous street gang in the world. The police and the military. I'll just start going to the grocery store and talk to a guy who I kind of know there that's working. And I'll start projecting really loud so everyone in the whole store can hear me. I do this like every time. I go and talk about how the banks are ripping you off, all the money's fake. All the money's fake and no one cares enough to do anything. No one cares enough to do anything. They're all just going to be enslaved, I guess, to death. Go in the grocery store, start talking to the cashiers that way. Intentionally doing it so that the managers can hear me, all the customers can hear me. I feel like it helps. I feel like it helps people in their minds at least understand where I'm at. I at least know that I'm a conspiracy theorist, that you know, I'm an anarchist. They need to judge for themselves what they want to be and whether they resonate, but they at least know where I stand. And I'm not just some faceless clone that no one has any idea what I'm about. No, I try to make it clear to people what I'm about. So that whenever they do decide that they want to be an anarchist and part of a solution, they can come to me and say, hey, you've been an anarchist for 6 years. What do I need to do? You know, how far are we down this path to freedom? And then I can be like, well, I've got an internet network. I've got a podcast. You could do all those things. You know, we're trying to set up farms, buy land and stuff. Find out if you're anyone around you is open to this. If they aren't, here's another good thing. Go around, talk about conspiracy theories and anarchist philosophy and stuff very openly. You don't have to shove it down everyone's throat all the time, but don't be shy about it. And then figure out how many people around you want nothing to do with it and are completely incompatible with the philosophy and will straight up attack you, even just in conversation, for talking about it. And then delete those people's numbers and don't network with them and don't invite them to events and forget about them. Let them do their own thing and just focus on people you get along with, you know. Focus on people you get along with that don't have some negative opinion about you, trying to hold you down, put you in a box in their mind that you don't want to be in. Sometimes people's parents will do this, you know, especially the millennial and earlier generations. You get into your 20s and, you know, your 30s even, and your parents still view you as if you're some high school kid that lives in their basement. That they'll still, until it's like until you make millions of dollars and you're more well off than them, they won't respect you and stuff. It doesn't matter if you're trying to be more responsible than that and do the right thing for all of humanity. Some people can't see the value.
Indeed, that's right. Some people cannot see the value, ladies and gentlemen. I'm glad that you do. We'll be right back after the break.
Everybody wants to be Mexican.
Thanks a lot, Vinny. You mean where people can find
my content?
Oh,
sorry, guys. We were muted on the other chat there. Sorry, I've got it back now. Go ahead, bro.
Yeah, my social media links, is that what you're asking? You can find all my links on Linktree. linktr.ee/crystalspider. My main podcast is on BitChute. My channel name on BitChute is Crystal Spider. Go there for all my recent podcasts. It's fully up to date. I had a blowout last year where I lost all my online work and had to start over. I lost like four channels or so. But, you know, BitChute's where you're going to find my podcast. I've got a really good guitar, piano, music channel on YouTube. I'm allowed to do music on YouTube. Not allowed to do podcasts, but on YouTube, my guitar channel is Crystal Spider's Healing Guitar Magic. So check that out, too. I'm on OneGreatWorkNetwork.com as a content creator. Special thanks to Mark for hooking me up. It's really been helpful for building my network, getting connections. It's how I met Vinny. It's through that network, so I'm very grateful for that.
Yeah. Okay, so final words of wisdom as well, that kind of thing, with what you've learned, with what you've seen, with what you've done, what is it you think people really need to know?
I would say take it seriously. Your soul, your karma, your life is on the line here. Things don't have to necessarily be dangerous or unsafe or negative. It doesn't have to be a burden. You don't have to be inconvenienced by doing the great work. But you do want to do it is the key. I enjoy doing this kind of stuff. I find it to be an opportunity, something that excites me, that gives my life meaning. It helps me to feel more joyful in life getting up and doing these podcasts. I don't view it as a negative thing in any way. It doesn't drag me down. I don't feel like, you know, it's some weight that's on my shoulders trying to fix the world. I view it as an opportunity to build my soul, to do the right thing, you know, spiritual development, a reason why I would go out and learn tech skills when I wouldn't before. I'm trying to be a coder and computer programmer so I can build, you know, video servers and all kinds of websites probably have to be built. There's food that needs to be grown. You can figure out what it is that you're really good at. Might be content creation. I would suggest that. Just, you know, I'm really good at that, though. I really like content creating. But there's a lot of other things that have to be done. You know, we got to learn how to grow food again. Like I said, we might have to build our own anarchist industry, you know, because the industry has been shipped off to China, a lot of it. People in America don't even make our own cars very much anymore, and corporations control the whole thing, and that's how they keep us dependent on their systems. So part of the great work, I feel like, is just learning how to do basic things again. You know, so you could be a teacher of that kind of stuff. Teach people morality a little bit too. Build a network, make some friends and stuff. It's fun. Why wouldn't you enjoy that and be grateful for that kind of lifestyle? I say get involved.
And get involved, ladies and gentlemen. And please also, if you're still on the sidelines, go to VinnieEastwood.com and donate, or to anybody else who is doing the great work out there who you support. Please show your love, show your support, and make sure that these things do not go unlistened to. Thank you so much. What a great show. Thanks, Nathan.
Thanks so much, Vinnie. That's awesome.